Hallelujah. I want to share my part about what God's doing. I told Laverne, I said, you know, I haven't preached a lot lately, and I've got a whole cage full of rabbits. If I let those things loose, I could be chasing rabbits till day after tomorrow. But I'm going to try to contain that, but I do want to say this at what's been said. And it's like it's already been said, we may not have a great multitude of people in this church, but we're making an impact on this community. Now, yesterday was the Downtown Days celebration in Columbia, and from 11 o'clock until noon yesterday, we had the Adair County Ministerial Association spiritual hour, where the churches in the Adair County Ministerial Association sponsored an hour's worth of singing and preaching in the Downtown Days Festival. And there were three churches that were involved in it. Out of the whole county, there were three churches. Now, there might have been some others if we'd have begged them. But what we do is we go by the ones that are faithful in the attending the ministerial meetings and staying attached with the local churches. And yesterday, when we had the Adair County Ministerial Association hour in the Downtown Fall Festival, there were three churches that were represented. New Life, Trinity United Methodist, and Columbia Baptist. And I've got some more news. You know, the Adair County Ministerial Association has a Thanksgiving community service every year. Right before Thanksgiving, we've had a couple different nights. We've figured out through processes of trial and error that the most effective night that we've seen to have the Ministerial Association meeting was on the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because we had our Ministerial Association meeting last Monday, and they asked us if we would be willing to host the Adair County Thanksgiving Memorial Service for Adair County. And so it's going to be here at New Life on the Tuesday night before Thanksgiving, whatever date that is. But, and we are making an impact. We're out there. People know about us. Some of them wonder about us. Some of them are a little scared of us, but they know about us. And yesterday, when things were going on during the program, when they turned the program over to Ricardo, and he started singing, and he got into one of his songs, and about halfway, well, maybe more than halfway through it, the CD went nuts. And so they had to shut it off. It was jumping, skipping, repeating phrases, and just messing up in general on that particular CD. And so they turned it off, and Ricardo just kept on singing. A cappella. And do you know, those people sat there and they looked at him. And some of them in amazement that song that he was doing could sound as good with no backup music. And one of the gentlemen that was sitting there close to us turned around after that happened and they looked at us and said, You know, most people couldn't have done that. So most people could not have kept on singing if their backup music had stopped. They would just wouldn't have had the courage or whatever it takes to just keep on. And I had already thought that myself. And then there was another lady, I have no idea who she was. Never saw her before that I know of, sitting next to Laverne there in the congregation. And when Ricardo finished his last song, she kind of tapped Laverne. She said, "Is he going to sing anymore?" And Laverne said, "Well, no, I think he's finished with his part." And the lady said, "Well, if he was going to sing anymore, we were going to stay here and listen to him. But if he's through, we're going to go." And I'm saying this, and Ricardo would know this is true. I'm not saying this to brag on Ricardo. I'm saying this to brag on the Lord. Because there was a time in his life when he could have got up there, I believe, and he could have sung all these songs, and they'd just been songs. But it's coming from his heart. And I had another interesting thought. You know, with our praise and worship in our church here, if you wanted to make a comparison in the sports world, our praise and worship team would be one of the best NBA teams. And Ricardo would be Michael Jordan or LeBron James. And I say that as a pastor. And we can't do it without all of you. And you know, when one of us goes somewhere, we represent all of us. So when you do whatever you do, it's just like what Pat was sharing. That the lady in the room with her mother. There's only one body of Christ. Now there's a lot of little different meeting places. And there's a lot of different ideas. But if you're a child of God, you're a child of God. God doesn't look at you as a child of God and say, "Oh, he's a Methodist child of God. He's a charismatic child of God. He's a Pentecostal child of God. He's a Methodist, Baptist." He doesn't do that. He just looks at us and sees us as a child of God. Amen. And he's not going to ask what church we belong to. Unless if the church we belong to has some kind of a flaw that they didn't teach us how we need to be born again. But what we do. Whether there's one of us doing it or five of us doing it or the whole bunch of us doing it. And the Sister Shirley and I, sometimes we don't ever know who's going to minister on Wednesday. Yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah, it's blinking, Glenn. So I'm gonna need two batteries. But we never know on Wednesday night. We just kind of keep in touch with one another. Are you gonna teach Wednesday night? Yeah, Shirley, you gonna teach Wednesday night? Okay. And then I preach on Sunday morning when I know that I'm ready to preach. I was supposed to preach last Sunday, but I just wasn't physically ready. And I found out, and I told Laverne this morning on the way to church, I said, "You know, you never know this, and I've never said anything to you about it, but since you told me back in February about me dying, I've thought about that a lot. I mean, there's times when I've shared it with people, but I don't mean talking about it in those kind of times. I mean, just sitting around meditating myself and thinking the fact, you know, you were dead. Most people that went through what you do, they're not standing up here talking now. And I realize that everything that we do is now. It's like what Sister Shirley put in the newsletter. And then the last song that the praise and worship team, this is the day. You know what that means? Now. Not what used to be, not what we hope is going to be, but what's going on now. How are you handling now? Now, that's not anything to do with the subject of my message. I just had a couple of rabbits get out of the cage. But I want to share something with you this morning that I think a lot of the people in the body of Christ need a lot more understanding of. I'm going to start out with the scripture in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' And then Jesus gave them an example. And he didn't give that prayer so that 2,000 years later we could stand in church on Sunday morning and pray that prayer and that took care of everything. This was an example. And when his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Now think about that grammatically for just a minute. There's a whole lot of stuff in that one little section there. Lord, teach us to pray. Now we can hear it like this. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us the procedure that we need in order to pray. Lord, teach us how much to pray. Or Lord, just teach us to pray. I mean, we don't pray, so teach us to pray. Not how to pray, but just to pray. And as we think about that, do you know how to pray? I'm learning more and more how I should pray. And I don't mean how much. Did you know you can pray 5 hours a day, and if you're not praying right, you might as well be out here fishing? And let me ask you this. Why would you limit your prayer time to 1 hour in the morning? We can develop the attitude, okay, if I get up at 5 o'clock and from 5:30 to 6:30 I read my Bible and pray, then I've given God all the time that He expects, and so I'm free the rest of the day to do whatever I need to do. Well, you know, there's a scripture verse in Thessalonians that says, pray without ceasing. Now, that means pray all the time. Now, I got news for you. You cannot get down on your knees in your secret place and pray all the time. You got other things you're going to have to do. I don't know of anybody yet, and I know there's some people with really strong prayer lives, and I can remember when I was in seminary and I was taking a class called Prayer and Spiritual Life. And we learned about men that had given so many hours of their lives to pray. But that's not the point. The point is, if you don't do it right, you might as well not do it at all. And many of the things that we do, Jesus said, you know, don't pray like the Pharisees do and don't pray like the heathen do, because they think they'll be heard for their many words. because they pray a lot. They think they'll be heard. Or, as the heathens do, when they do their vain repetitions. Now, you know, we say, oh, I wouldn't do anything like that. I can promise you this morning that there are some of us here, and I'm going to say us because I'm going to include myself in this. There are some of us here, without knowing it, we have gotten into the habit of praying vain repetitions. If you get up every morning for 10 years and pray for the same thing, that is a vain repetition. I don't care if you're praying for something good. And I'll show you what I'm talking about before I get finished with it this morning. But teach us to pray. Prayer is communicating with God. Now let me ask you this. What husband and wife do you know of that they spend 1 hour in the morning when they first get up talking and then they don't pay any attention to each other the rest of the day? Now they may get up early in the morning and sit down and pour them a cup of coffee and they may sit there and they may talk about some really important things that have to do with their family and with their lives. But when that time is over, they don't say, okay, well, that's enough. I'll see you in the morning. They communicate the rest of the day. And that's all prayer is. Prayer is communicating with God. When Jesus went out on the mountain and he prayed all night, do you think he spent the night out there on that mountain telling God what to do? Telling God what needed to be done and how it needed to be done? I think he spent the biggest part of the night listening. Because he said, I don't ever do anything that I didn't hear my Father tell me to do. Well, if you don't listen to the Father, how do you know what the Father's telling you to do? And what I'm doing this morning, I'm not fussing at anybody, but I want to tell you something that just doesn't make you feel good, but educates you into things of God so that maybe you can see in your own lives, oh, now I see why this has been going this way. Now I see why this hasn't happened. And you know, one of the biggest things that we have to learn to do in our prayer life is to wait on God. Wait on God while we're praying. I mean, you know, you're going to have a conversation with a person. So, okay, let's say I decide I'm going to have a conversation with Ricardo. So I get up and I go across the yard there to where he is and I say, well, I need to talk to you. So I talk to him, just straight conversation, not conversation, lecture or dialogue, monologue actually. But I spend 15 minutes talking to him. And then when I'm finished talking to him, I say, okay, Ricardo, I'll see you next time. And I go on home. And he never had a chance to say a thing to me because I didn't give him time. Now, I'm telling you, you got to watch out in your prayer life that you don't end up that way. You spend 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes telling God what he needs to do and how he needs to do it and how bad off you are because it's not done. You know, sometimes people don't pray. They have a complaining session. Now, God, let me tell you how bad everything is. Well, you don't have to. He already knows what everything is. Scripture tells us that he knows of what we need before we ask him. But that doesn't mean that you don't ask. I got to make sure I get through with some of this morning. So let me go on to the next scripture. Can you find a Kleenex or something? Thank you. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7, says this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Excuse me. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Some people get some of the worst gifts. They get some of the most tragic gifts. They get some of the most dreadful things given to them in this life, and they blame God for it. You know, I died back in February, but I don't blame God for it. The thief's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is the one who has the power of death. Hebrews tells us that. I'm alive because of God and because of a wife that knew not just to pray, but knew how to pray. Oh, God, Jerry died and I don't know what to do, and I'm going to miss him so much. And God, oh, please. That's not the way she prayed. She stood there face to face, toenail to toenail with the devil, and basically said, you're not taking him. You're not taking him. He's coming back. And I think I've told you this already, but, you know, people ask me, well, what did you see? Did you see the light of the tunnel? And I've told them, I didn't see anything. I never had any experience. And then I kind of figured out why, and I said, well, I think the reason is because Laverne never let me get far enough away. Even though I was dead for 30 minutes, I never got out of her sight. But God gives good gifts, and that's what we need to expect when we pray. And like I said earlier about waiting on God, you know, the most thing we've got to do is have patience with God. I don't know if you remember the story of Daniel or not, but Daniel had some problems, and he went to God and he prayed. And it was 3 days before he got an answer. Well, that's okay. That's not too bad. You know, 3 days, we can generally handle that. But then the next time he had a real situation, he went to God, and he prayed, and he asked God to help him with him, and had on the conversation with God, and shared his heart with God. And it went on, and nothing happened. A week passed by, and nothing happened. 2 weeks passed by, and nothing happened. 3 weeks passed by, and still nothing's happening. And finally, Daniel said, God, what's going on? Where have you been? Basically, God said, Daniel, I haven't been anywhere. And he said to Daniel, Daniel, I heard you the first day you prayed. And you know, sometimes we think God could just do anything he wants to instantaneously. The only way that God can do everything that we ask and be an instantaneous response is for him to take away or override man's free will. God will never take away a person's free will in order to answer your prayer. Now, he will work on him with the Spirit, work on them, work on the situation. And that's what God told Daniel when the angel finally got there. And you know, basically what he said, and we'll not go into exact details, but he said to Daniel, I know you prayed. I heard you the first day you prayed, but it's taken me 21 days to get everything set in a pattern so that this prayer can be answered. And you pray for people that need to get saved. You pray for people whose lives need to change. They got a problem and you're praying and God to get them out of it. But did you know the only way that God can get them out of their situation is to change their mind about it? And so just remember, when you ask God, would you save Uncle Charlie? Lord, Uncle Charlie needs to be saved. You think God doesn't know that Uncle Charlie needs to be saved? You think God doesn't know what's keeping Uncle Charlie from being saved? You think God doesn't know what he has to do in order to get your prayer answered? So what do you keep doing? You keep praying the same prayer and you keep vainly repeating, Lord, save Uncle Charlie. Now, what if 20 years from now Uncle Charlie gets saved and you say, well, thank you, Lord, for finally hearing my prayer. And if God spoke to you like he did to Daniel, he'd say, what do you mean thank you for finally hearing? I heard you the first day you prayed. I've been working on Uncle Charlie for 20 years. And finally got him into the place where he's willing to accept me as his Savior. Give God some time. But while you're waiting on him, wait in faith and not wonder. You wait in faith, believing that God heard your prayer and he's going to answer it. You wait and wonder when it's, boy, I wonder if God's ever going to do this. I've been praying for Uncle Charlie. I wonder if he's ever going to get saved. Well, probably not if it's up to you. Because you're still wondering. God already knows. But he said, ask and it'll be given to you. Ask, ask. You know what asking is? Asking is asking. It doesn't say beg and plead. If you give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to you? How many of your children follow you around all day begging you for supper? Oh, please, Mom, fix us some supper tonight. Would you please fix us supper for tonight? And you look at him and say, look, I'll take care of supper. I'm really getting tired of you asking me all day long and begging and crying. Don't you have any faith in me that I'll have your supper when you need it? Asking is not begging and pleading. And I got news for you. Good prayer is not necessarily moaning and groaning and bawling and crying and all the other stuff that people do to try to get God to answer a prayer. And you know what's really coming out? Their emotions about the whole thing. God isn't moved by tears. God is moved by faith. Ask, and it will be given to you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I got too much. Seek and you will find. It doesn't say this, ask and you it will be given to you, sit and you will find. Well, I prayed, I'm just sitting here waiting. Well, stop doing the sitting and start doing the seeking. Now, I'm not talking about going out here and turning over rocks and saying, where's the answer to that prayer? Where's the answer to this need? God's out here somewhere. I'm seeking it. I'm going to find it. No, you know, there's some things that God said, and one of the things that Jesus said, after all of these daily needs the Gentiles seek, just like you do, you got all these daily needs, and you're seeking the daily needs to be supplied. But he said, let me give you a little example of changing this just a little bit. Instead of seeking for all the things that you need, that need to make your life better, and you need to make things go better with you, instead of seeking all of those things, why don't you do this? Why don't you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know what that means? That means let the kingdom of God start dwelling in you more than it is. Let the kingdom of God begin to change your life. Start living like you're part of the kingdom, instead of living like you wonder where you are and what you're going to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, I've taught a class on Wednesday night about this. But when you go over in Romans, it says, and I've gone blank on what chapter it is, but I could turn to it. The Jews not willing to accept the righteousness of God have set out to establish their own righteousness. And the righteousness of God that they had rejected was Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. Your righteousness is not what you've done. Your righteousness consists of what Jesus has done. So you seek the kingdom of God and you seek Jesus. And when you do that, all these other things, that's what you eat, what you wear, where you sleep, the roof over your head, your health, all of these other things will be added unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. You know, there's a lot of people can't get to where they want to go, and they can't get to where God wants them because they're spending so much energy trying to kick in the door. Yeah. Well, I know that what's behind this wall is what God wants for me and what He wants to give me, and I know it's what I'm supposed to have, but I just think I have pushed and shoved and kicked and done all of this stuff, and I can't get that door to come down. And that doesn't necessarily mean knocking on that door till your knuckles are raw. See, we get this idea that this is going to be a hard job. Praying and getting in touch with God is going to be a difficult thing to do because He's too busy with everybody else. He's not going to give me the time and the attention that I need, so I'm going to have to force Him to. And we take that example where Jesus gave about the judge that gave the woman what she needed, not because He feared her, God, anybody else, because she was wearing Him out. And finally, He just gave it to her to get rid of her. And some people will look at that and they'll compare that with God. And even though Jesus put that in there and said that, He was saying, this man didn't fear God or care anything about this woman, and because she kept after Him, He did it. Now, you've got a God that doesn't have that opinion of you. You've got a God that wants to bless you. You've got a God that wants to give you every good thing. You've got a Father that's going to take care of you. You're not dealing with a judge that you have to beat his door down to get him to pay attention to you. Now you see, Most of what I am telling you this morning is not something that you have to do. It's something you really have to learn to believe. You've got to believe that God wants to bless you. You've got to believe that God hears you. You've got to believe that when you knock, the door's going to be open. And if that door don't open, there's a good possibility that maybe you don't need to go through it. Because there's a lot of times that we want to go places, and it may be a good place. And I know there's a lot of people out here, and I know this for a fact. I mean, I've been in, this is my 45th year in the ministry, by the way. Now, I've learned a thing or two over those 45 years. And one of the things I've learned is this, that there are a lot of people in the body of Christ. They get saved, they get turned on to God, they get excited about living for God. And they say, well, you know, I just need to do something else. And some good-meaning person that doesn't know any better than themselves will say, oh, God must be calling you to preach. Well, I got news for you. God's called us all to preach. Preach is sharing the gospel, but there's a lot of difference in preaching and pastoring a church. And some people make that assumption that they're the same. So, well, you know, you need to go into the ministry. Through the years, I have seen many men that have gone into the ministry because they felt that they wanted to do something better for God. And that's the only thing that they had known, the only thing they were told. And when they got in there and they became pastors or evangelists or whatever, and they did that for a little while, they were screaming help. And a lot of them just walked away because they went through a door. It wasn't supposed to be their door. Sure, they're supposed to preach. Sure, they're supposed to serve God. Sure, they're supposed to get out here and evangelize. I tell you what, Ricardo has never pastored church, but he sure knows how to preach. And there's some of the rest of you. You get out here and you meet people and you preach. And that's another whole rabbit about how you preach to them, but just know that you ought knock on the door, it's open, if it's a door that God wants you to go through. And we end with this. So how do I get all this to come to pass? Well, you find the answer to that in Mark 11. And I'm sure that this is not a scripture. Most everybody in here probably knows this scripture. But in Mark 11, 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, now that's his disciples, after they saw the fig tree that Jesus had cursed the night before, withered up and dead the next morning. It's like, Lord, the fig tree's dead. How in the world did it happen overnight? Wow, what in the world went on here that this fig tree died overnight? I mean, that big tree that Ricardo was talking about down there in the road, that thing was still green when he was cutting it up. It had been laying there a few days. But this fig tree died and withered up overnight. And you know why? Because this fig tree was living a way that the fig tree wasn't supposed to be living, and they ran, that fig tree came face to face with the creator of the universe. Now you got to understand that the creator of the universe lives in you. Whoa. You know, we talk about Jesus being in our heart, but we don't really comprehend what that means. Jesus in my heart, the creator of the universe, the one that was, is, and will forever be in my heart, in my life. He's living in me. That puts me in a special place. That puts me in a place to have faith in God. And Jesus said, have faith in God. You know what Jesus was saying? He was basically saying this. Jesus was a man just like they were. And he was saying to them, that fig tree did not die because I cursed it. That fig tree died because I have faith in God. Now, did he do what he needed to do? Did he seek and did he knock? Yes, he did. But he gave God the credit. Have faith in God. That's the first thing, have faith in God. Now, there's a lot of people that know these next two verses and they skip that one for some reason or other. But the first thing is this, have faith in God. Now, if you have faith in God, I assure you, I say to you, if you have faith in God, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And there's a lot of people out here talking about what they want, making declarations about what they're going to get, and confessing what they're going to have. But in the midst of all of that talking and confessing, there's not very much believing. There's not much faith in God. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen when we heard the faith message, I saw people that thought that what it meant was just say it with your mouth and it'll sooner or later come to pass. And when we left them, and that was far away from here, we've been here since 1978, that's 38 years. Nothing changed. And you say, well, they've been confessing and confessing. I can hear somebody saying something, but I can't see what's in their heart. Starts out, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And it's just like what Sister Shirley said in the newsletter. It's not wishing things are like they used to be and hoping the future gets better. It's believing in now. Oh, and that's one thing I was going to say about being dead. I live in the now. I live in the now. I live today. That's one of the things that being dead and coming back kind of does to you. You realize that I told Laverne, I said, all the time that I have now is a gift. And take advantage of every day. And my biggest problem is just dealing with myself. And dealing with my circumstances. And realizing that when I died, my muscles died, and my muscles are not as quick about coming back to life as my brain and my heart. And I was told that by the medical people. They will come back. But it'll take time. Now, and see, I get to thinking, well, I'm blaming all my mind's ready to go, but I can't get my body to cooperate with it. And then I hear this little stupid voice that says, yeah, it's not going to get any better either. And I don't know how long it's supposed to take for me to get everything back. If God could do a supernatural miracle, I could have had. But some reason or other, the process is in gear and it's working and I'm coming back. And every day, every week, I think I surprised Brother Jimmy this morning when I got up by myself. See, he's been helping me up over here out of the chair for a long time. I got up by myself. And it's those times when you realize that something is happening, but you forget about those when you get to having those thoughts about what isn't what it ought to be, rather than how well it's coming along. And you do that with everything. Uncle Charlie, he hadn't changed a bit, but Uncle Charlie's still alive. Thank God Uncle Charlie's still alive. Thank God he hasn't died lost. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, there's that ask again, ask and you shall receive, whatever things you ask, when you pray, when you have your communication with God, let's just kind of focus on this for really what it is. Prayer is not just some kind of a big spiritual thing out here that just kind of floats around, and sometimes it'll come over you and fall on you, and when it does, I can do anything. But sometimes that big cloud that I feel when I feel like I can do anything, I can't find it under certain circumstances, and so therefore I get to feeling like this ain't gonna work. Therefore, when you pray, therefore, when you talk with God like you believe you've already gotten what He said He'd give you. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When do you believe you receive them? When you pray. When you ask. It's a done deal. And you keep repeating the same prayer to God for 10 years about something, I can tell you, you don't believe you got it. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. When you pray for Uncle Charlie to get saved, you start seeing Uncle Charlie saved. Don't watch out here in the natural what Uncle Charlie is living like. You see him in your spirit as a saved son of God. And you believe it. And you act like it. And you can't go to God and say, Lord, I thank you for saving Uncle Charlie. I believe Uncle Charlie's saved. And then go out here and talk to your brother or sister or Uncle Charlie's boy. And during all that talking, talk like you haven't got any hope for Uncle Charlie. I mean, see, there's just a lot of little things that's got to be put in proper perspective. They got to be done the way they're supposed to be done. Lord, His disciples said, teach us to pray. And there's a lot of people that they're never going to see it because they don't believe it. They're asking for something to happen and wondering whether or not it's going to. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And you got a bill out here in front of you, and you ask God to send you the money to take care of that bill, to help you get it paid. And then for the next four nights, you lay awake all night wondering how you're going to pay that bill. Did you believe in God when you prayed? No, it don't sound like it. Am I saying it's easy? No, because we've got natural minds that want to contradict. They have to see everything in the natural. Lord, I need $300. I don't know where I'm going to get it. And you start saying, well, Lord, you know, I could get it from here. I could get it from there. And the guy's shaking his head said, you don't need to tell me what to do. You just need to believe that I'm going to do something. You need to trust me that I'm going to take care of it. You've asked me. You've seeked. You've knocked. And you also threw a tear or two in here and there. But it comes back to, do you really believe? Do you really believe it? Well, I'll believe it when I see it. There you go. That answers a lot of questions. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you'll never get a chance to believe it because it's probably highly unlikely that anything God has to do, you're not going to see it. Because you're not believing. It works in my own life. I go through things for periods of time, and then at the end of that period of time, I realize, uh-oh. Okay, God, I understand. And you know, if you want to know how to adjust things, you don't always have to ask the preacher. You don't have to ask somebody you know is real spiritual. All you got to do is ask God. God, what am I doing wrong? And I mean, you know, you can't just feel like, well, if I was doing anything wrong, a car or run over me or a tree had fallen on me. No. God disciplines us. God corrects us. He teaches us, but He doesn't abuse us. There's a difference between parents teaching and training their children and parents that abuse their children. And sometimes we don't know the difference. Well, I disobeyed God. He took my little 3-year-old boy. Because you disobeyed him, he killed your 3-year-old son. Now, come on. Is that a good gift? Now, yeah, maybe actions that we took led to it. Maybe something we didn't do. Just like Miriam was talking about, angels all around, angels watching over us. We don't know how many times we've come close. We don't know how many times that just before we got there it moved. We don't know those things, but we got to believe that that's the way we operate with God. And when you go out of here today, I want you to really consider your prayer life. And just realize it's just communicating with God. You don't have to do it for an hour in the morning and then say, okay, God, I'll see you this time tomorrow morning. You talk to Him all day. There's times that I'm driving down the road and I don't have anything on my mind. I mean, I'm just driving along. Maybe I'm listening to Christian music. Maybe I'm just sitting there. Maybe I'm listening to the news. Maybe I'm not listening to anything. Maybe I'm just meditating. But something will hit my mind and I say, oh, God, let me talk to you about this. Now, that's prayer. That's praying. That's how you can pray without ceasing. That means that any time you need to ask God something, you got to believe He's there. You got to believe He's hearing you. And most of all, you've got to believe that you're going to receive what you say. And so just ask the Spirit of God this next week, Lord, just, you know, help me to adjust my prayer life. I heard a lot Sunday morning. Some of it I didn't maybe understand. Some of it I didn't hear well enough. Some of it, don't know about that. But everything that I teach, I don't teach you stuff so that you'll believe like me. I teach you things that I hope will help you in your relationship with God. I love you. I love you, and if you're listening to this broadcast on the internet, I love you, even though I may have never met you. And if you walked up to me seeking God, I'd do my best to help you find what you were seeking for. I just really feel a strong presence of the Lord here. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm just going to ask you to commit your prayer life to God. Lord, teach me to pray. Heavenly Father, your mercy and your grace is so overwhelming. And I know, Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here that don't know you as their personal Savior, it's their fault. Because you said that he that comes to you, you'd in no wise turn away. And Father, I just pray that they're going to choose Jesus Christ. And for those that already know you, I thank you, Lord God, for being with each one, teaching us, Lord God, the things that we need to know, giving us the grace that we must have, Lord God, in order to do what you've asked us to do, in order to know how to pray. Thank you, Lord God, that as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things are added. They come to us. And we thank you for them. I thank you for blessing each one, Lord God, as we leave this place this morning. We can go forth from here realizing, Lord God, the power of the weapon of faith. And that our weapon this morning has been oiled and cleaned and brought up to standard. Or that we're going to make sure that it is. Lord, bless each one here this morning with your love, your mercy, and your grace. And may this coming week be the best week of their lives. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and he loves you.